The following presentation was recorded at the 2010 Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute. More information at thedocforlearning.org.
Some answers there. Brother Marcus Kaufman is going to address the topic for us. They've had a variety of experiences there at Virginia Beach, and he'll share a bit of their journey working with homeschoolers in the school and out of their experience, and I'm sure we'll have some good things for us to think about. Brother Marcus.
Good afternoon, and greetings in Jesus' name. If those of you who were in this last session can quit trying to figure out if you're a right brainer or a left brainer, and try to focus on something that I'm not sure is it a right brain subject or a left brain subject, but focus on something and try to reason together and come to a charitable view of school and homeschool cooperation. I realize that I'm speaking to school people. It's probably a small portion of people who are homeschool people here. I'm speaking to school people, and therefore I may actually tell you something a little differently than if I would be speaking to a bunch of homeschoolers, because of who you are and what your life is. So I want to I recognize I may be presenting a bit of the other side, but at the same time I do want to bring us to a charitable view and a smooth cooperation. I'm definitely on the my life has been on the school side. I saw some of the books up there that I grew up on in school. I've been involved in school for much of my life. I've never homeschooled. I've never been homeschooled. I've been schooled. What little I've had. So, speaking to you as teachers, I hope I don't sound too radical in this, but please hear me out. If we go to CMTIs year after year, we go to CLE workshops, we go to maybe some Protestant Christian school organizations, maybe an ACE convention, maybe the that other big one with the C in it. I don't know what I'm talking about. The Maxim. And then there's another one too, ACSI. Thank you. If we go to those long enough, and we're indoctrinated into the push for school, we actually may come up with the idea that, you know, in fact, school and your calling to school is the apple of God's eye. That is, the rest of life revolves around it. Now, that's one of the downfalls, perhaps. It's one of the dangers, perhaps, of long-term teachers. I think we need to be cautious of that. I don't discourage long-term teaching by any means. I fully encourage it. We may think that school is of paramount importance. And we go to faith builders, and we hear comments from people that say something like this: my father was a bishop in the church, and he told me that as a teacher in the church, I actually have a greater influence on the church as a teacher in the church school. I actually am having a greater influence on the future church than my father, who is a bishop. Now, that may be true. But I'm saying that those things are geared, even though there's truth in all of those things actually, if we hear that long enough, and it comes into our cognizance long enough, where we may get a bit of a mixed up view of really what our place is in life. We may actually have a little over an elevated opinion of God's calling on my life and how really important I am as a teacher. What happens then is that there are some people that don't necessarily think that. I mean, you are now a standard bearer in your community. You are part of what has held the community together. You read the books like Good Morning, Miss Dolph. Any of you have read the book? It's a good book to read. Miss Dove was this old teacher she influenced the conscience of every person in the whole community, it seemed, with her order, with her firmness. Then somebody comes along and decides, we're not going to follow what you think is so important. We'd like to homeschool our children. Therein lies the conflict. And it may be a personal thing with you being in the school camp. Let me stop right here and ask a question for an answer. What is the biblical basis for your Christian school's existence? Chapter and verse. I'll be happy to turn you. I'm going to use the table of contents. Well, how did we get there then? How do we get there? I'm not tearing apart what we've been hearing. I don't want to at all. How do we get there? So often, the work of God, God's work, if we're involved in it, we're promoters of it, it becomes our life, and if we are not careful, it actually can become our work instead of God's work. The focus can shift from God to our. Let me tell you an embarrassing little story. I was about half of my life ago, I was in Belize, spent several years there, and I think the setting, this was I was a school teacher there. This was not during the school year, but I was there. I was the unit leader was gone on furlough or else, you know, there was a time there where we had no unit leader, and I was busy holding down the fort, and our neighbor, who did not live there at the time, he was within two-way radio walking distance away, he had a cow that had a calf across the road from us. And the calf couldn't walk right. Something was malfunctioning a bit in his hind legs. And And I talked to my neighbor about it, who wasn't there at the time. And anyhow, out of the goodness of my heart, please bear with me, out of the goodness of my heart, I went after, I was burning the midnight oil, late at night, I took a, where I got milk, mixed up some dry milk, and went and found this calf, and I fed this calf. Walking back to the mission house, this sneaking feeling came over me. And it sounded just about exactly as smart as you. You are a pretty good shepherd. I hadn't really thought that through, but you know, the feeling was, here I am in mission work, and I'm concerned about people in the daytime, and I'm concerned about poor little crippled calves at night. Marcus, you are a pretty good shepherd. It scared me. It shocked me. It made me see the frailty and the ability for pride in my mind, for self-exaltation, for in fact taking glory for what should be God's work. It's possible for you and me in our school settings as well to give ourselves to it. So poor teachers pay for so many years. We sacrifice so much. We burn the candle at both ends. We give and we give and we give. So we think. And if we are not careful, we actually can start to think of, I deserve this place of high respect in my school. In fact, I might be the only one in the community that's up to date as to what's really going on. And, you know, I'm just saying we have the potential of thinking vain thoughts like that. The work of God, we can wrest it from God's work and make it our work. Try to take the credit. We must be humble. We must repent of the vain thoughts and attitudes that sneak upon us. Nothing probably has affected or has the potential of affecting school teachers' sense of calling and sense of importance as much as some audacious parents who actually have the nerve to think they can tackle what you have been trained to do. And they have not been trained to do it. They've got no experience doing it. They'd like to homeschool. And for a lot of people, it does cause a problem. There are other issues besides the pride factor of teachers that do come into play. But I am challenging you, don't ever let pride keep you from cooperating with homeschoolers. When the individualized curriculum came out. As I recall it, I was quite young, but as I recall when the individualized curriculums were coming out and being promoted, it was a revolutionary idea, and at least I got the idea, it may be somewhat faulty, but I got the idea that in order for you to do it this way, you need to come to training. You need to sign a contract with us that you will buy our curriculum and we will exclude other curriculum, and you will do it our way. I don't find that mentality in anybody that would publish any of the individualized curriculum anymore. The mentality is now, how can we be of service to you? Is there some way that we can help you? We recognize that individualized learning is not the only way to do it. It has some benefits, and it also has some downsides. How can we be of service to you? I think that there's probably a better service mentality from those, the individualized curriculum publishers that publish individualized curriculum today than there was years ago. I think that the mentality has actually matured into how can we be of service to you? In the same way, when the homeschooling movement moved through, in a lot of places there was a lot of resistance. And I would just like to move us also to a service mentality. How can we be of assistance to you? And I realize also that you as school board members, perhaps as principals, you really do not make the final decisions. There have been churches who have taken stands one way or the other on the issue of homeschooling. There are some churches that feel that we have a Christian school here, and we as a congregation feel that for you to pull out of school is actually withdrawing your support from something that the church has been promoting, and therefore we ask that you don't do it. We, in fact, disallow you from doing it. And I'm not saying that's all bad. There are reasons to homeschool. There are reasons not to homeschool. Did anybody find a chapter and verse yet? Well, let me ask another question then. Which came first, school or homeschool? Homeschool. I think you're right. If we would go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Deuteronomy chapter 4, 9. Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons, and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. This is speaking fathers to their children. There are some other passages too, Deuteronomy chapter 6 to 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thy house. And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I tend to agree. I think the homeschool probably came first. Deuteronomy 11:19. It's a very similar verse. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Ephesians chapter 6, and ye teachers, provoke not your children to wrath. No. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's been something for me as a teacher to keep in mind. God has placed the responsibility of teaching children on the parents. Sometimes, granted, we long-time teachers, we can think that we need to set the parents straight, and we need to teach them. We need to require of them what they do to fit into our school. And there's a certain segment of that that does need to happen. But at the same time, we must realize that the authority that you as school board and you as teachers, as principals have, has been delegated to you by the corporate fathers and mothers in the congregation. It's important that we remember that, lest we get haughty and high-minded. It does seem that, you know, especially from where we are coming from, why would somebody choose to homeschool when there is a good Christian school available? That's a question. It's a question. It's probably a question that you may ask and you may feel strongly about, in fact. There are some right reasons. I'm just going to try to list some reasons. There are some good reasons for homeschooling. There are some wrong reasons for homeschooling. Distance to school is one thing. Not too long ago, we live about 10 minutes from school. And recently the bridge between us and the school was out. And so we ended up having to make about a half an hour trip to school. If it was no traffic, a little bit sooner, but about a half an hour. My wife would go a half an hour, come back a half an hour. Several hours later, she would take another hour trip. She spent 2 hours on the road. She actually made this, now she also was a teacher. She taught for 11 years. She also made this comment: if this would continue too much longer, I think I might be interested in homeschooling. Some of you that are used to traveling that far think, well, that's nothing. But if you're not used to it, it is something. The atmosphere of the school. Try as we may, there are times in a lot of Christian schools when the atmosphere there may not be totally conducive to good conduct. I think we need to recognize that, and we need to do our very best as principals and board members to maintain that good school spirit. Some parents also were very interested in reducing the peer pressure that they knew their children would face in school. Not all peer pressure is bad, but peer pressure can be a real issue, and especially in school when students are together with a lot of other students, other children their age. It can become a very real thing. Some parents have opted for the ability to try to be their children's peers. They wanted to, I mean, not to really lower themselves to their level, but in other words, they want to provide the social stimulation that their neighbors' children or other church people's children or maybe somebody from another church, their children will provide for their children. They have opted that they would like to provide that social interaction as a family. They have a stronger view of the family, perhaps. They're emphasizing the family. And some people just prefer to do it that way. There are some mothers, especially, that are more emotionally attached to their children. They want their children close. Wrong with that? That's just simply the way it is. We are created differently from each other. And therefore they choose to homeschool. There are some wrong reasons, I think, to for some parents to homeschool. There's a big issue today is the thing of independence, the thing of do it yourself. And we live in a day when everything is geared to do it yourself. I remember when the pay at the pump, the self-service gas station. That's not saying much about my age either. It really wasn't all that long ago. Used to, you'd drive up to the service station, and a service station attendant would come out. He'd ask you, you want regular or high test back in those days. And he also asked, you want me to check the oil? He would do it for you. You'd pay him, and then you'd bring your money. Well, soon it came to the point of self-serve. If you think about that self-serve, it sounds convenient, but carry that self-serve further, you still have selfishness. You still have self-serve. I'm not saying that if you pay at the pump at the gas station, that you're selfish. I'm not saying that. However, I am saying that our world is geared to serving yourself. And I think that also can be an influence into some parents that choose to homeschool. They do so because it fits their schedule better. It gives them a greater feeling of independence. They can do what they want to do. They don't have to be bound to the schedule of just always going to school. And if I take my children out for something else, they don't like it. Some can also have the idea that we're going to show them how it should be done. We're going to show the school people how it's done. There is certainly a possibility of some egotistical attitudes. One of the influences in some circles was that caused quite a few people to homeschool was the Basic Institute for Youth Conflict, the Go-Doctor seminars, the advanced seminars. He was a strong promoter of fathers standing up and being the man, being the person that he ought to be. Granted, a lot of fathers have failed. A lot of people would be very happy if the church would raise their children, if the church sets the curfews, if the church tells their children how to act. It takes a village to raise that's even from a secular viewpoint, from Hillary Clinton. I think she wrote a book on that. It takes a village. Fathers have not been doing what God has really designed fathers to do. Fathers have been lax in taking their responsibility. And I think that Gothard definitely addressed that. And in the whole process, however, there is one thing that did happen with that. At the role of the father was elevated to the point that it really came into conflict with the role of the church. And it may have thrown the thing into the other ditch. It may have imbalanced it in the opposite manner. There are some reasons for not homeschooling. And one of the reasons that I would see for not homeschooling is that there is a good Christian school available. Another reason, parents may be not as competent teachers. Alan was talking this morning that the teacher, he's got to have something that not everybody has. I'm not saying that everybody couldn't develop it, but a teacher does need to have something that not everybody naturally has. School teachers who do it all the time should be, in fact, better teachers than homeschool teachers. It's interesting, however, if you look at the, if you ever read anything about the national spelling bees, look who wins. Oftentimes it's homeschoolers. They rank very high. Other duties definitely do press in on families. And I think another reason not to homeschool is the fact for the unity and the oneness in the church. I think that as we, if we are in a setting, I'm talking to homeschoolers now, if we are in a setting where the Christian school has been promoted and it's a good Christian school, you really do not see danger in the Christian school, and your church has asked not to homeschool, but to lend your support along with the rest of the congregation for the Christian school, I think that you ought to. So then, the reasons for school. There's a, we get school from parents getting together with God's responsibility, with the responsibility that God has placed on parents. They get together and they decide, we can do this better together than each one of us doing it individually. And that's where you and me come in. It's easier to maintain a scheduled, orderly environment in a school than it is in a home, under most circumstances. And as I mentioned earlier, there should be, as a whole, better teachers in Christian schools. I'm talking just in a general way. There's also the thing of socialization. Children learning how to interact with other people. Children learning how to respect authority that is not just mom and dad. There are some real benefits. I'm saying this. All homeschoolers are not crazy. All homeschoolers are not off the wall. They're not all wet for wanting to. There are valid reasons for homeschooling. And I think we need to be charitable to that. I see your place in the school as that of ministry to those families. If you, as the school people, have a holding at arm's length, have a distancing attitude towards homeschoolers, they probably will be distanced from you. If, however, they can sense from you that you are willing to help, you want to help, you respect their wishes, you respect what they are doing and their desire to raise godly children, and you respect that that's the way they want to do it, and you are available to help in any way possible, they will appreciate it, and they will not be distanced from the school. There are some other teachers who really are as scared of it as any first-year teacher in a classroom. They don't know they feel like they don't know how to do this. This is something new. They don't have quite as many people looking at them as a first year school teacher does, but they are looking for direction. And they would like for you to be willing to give it. They don't understand. They expect you, as people involved in the school, to understand better what is expected of students academically. And they'd like some input from you. What shall we do? What curriculum should we do? What's best? And how do we do this? Another thing that you as a school can do is if you can kind of spread your wings, you can invite them to, you can give them achievement tests. You can provide achievement testing for them. Something which will let them know that you are willing to work with them. I would hope that they have the attitude, I hope that they would have the confidence in your attitude that they would be free to call you for advice. Let me tell you a little of our story. It's nothing real special. Back in probably the early 90s, was the early 90s, the several families decided that they would like to homeschool families from our church, and we as a congregation did not resist it. We honored the request, and we gave them the option to do it. We had about 44 students, 44 students at the time, and when the homeschooling wave came through, I think it probably took about a third of the students. Now, I was this teacher, and with the especially the Gothard influence, there was this I almost got the feeling that, you know, it is the parents' responsibility for this. I almost felt like, well, as a teacher, that leaves me way out of the loop. I'm here providing something, hoping to provide something which actually is not in God's perfect plan. I didn't let that bother me too badly, but if you listen to Gothard enough, well, you could definitely get that idea. I think that he was overboard. I certainly do. Some fathers were taking their personal responsibility more seriously than they had before. The school spread its wings and said, basically, okay, let's work with this together. Here's what we'll do. Here's what we would like to do. We will provide the curriculum for you. And then you can do what we're doing at school at home. And we actually even gave a little leeway. As things progressed, something changed just a little bit. In fact, we got to the point that we said, you give us, we will provide the math and the English for you as homeschoolers. You give us the grades of the testing. This is something that, you know, we do need something. If we're actually going to spread our wings and allow you to be under our wings, we're going to go to bat for you. We're going to count you as part of us. We do need something with some real numbers to it. We do need the grades of the test scores of math and English. It leaves the rest up to you. We thought if we have the math and English, those are skills. The rest, you know, we'll let them do what they want to. We'll let them be responsible for it. And if they're doing a good job in math and English, they, you know, they're going to be getting a good education. Now, some of the parents truly, I'm sorry, but they were slack. They did not do a good job. Some of their children, some learning disabilities came on the scene, and these the same to do just to let them run. This was those first, fourth grade boys. That was much rather run anyhow. And they ran. Not many of them. Other families did an excellent job. Other families, I mean, they truly did a very good job. Their children got a very good education. So as we spread our wings, then we also invited them to back for any Christmas program. We normally gave a program a year, and we invited them back. Please bring your children here for practicing the program. We want to get a program all together. This is still a church. We'd like to give a church a program to all the parents with everybody included, and we did that continuously. We also invited them back for a day, for an afternoon a week. This was pretty heavy. It was, but we invited them back for an afternoon a week, and we would have music and something else. I can't remember what else we did. This was the early 90s. But we did some things together as you know, everybody. So they spent several hours at school per week. It was heavy, both for the homeschooling parents. Some of them appreciated it, but others did complain. You know, that was pretty hard on them. To sacrifice that afternoon or week. And it was a lot of work for the teachers, too. It really was a lot of work for the teachers. Some homeschool children would, they were the most respectful. Just others, obviously, were not used to listening to somebody other than mom and dad. And it gave the teachers a work. It truly did. As time went on, the way passed. Some parents, some homeschool parents, stuck at it, and they did a good job. And there's nobody in our church that's still homeschooling. Some of them have sent their children back to school. In the whole process, we also got in contact somehow or the other with some other homeschool families, not from our church, that had been homeschooling for several years, and they were tired. And they wanted, they would not send their children back to public school, and they were looking for a good Christian school to send their children to. So there were some other students from, not from our church, that were enrolled in our school, which also some of those cases turned out very well. And others, it did add some issues that we had to work with. So in our area, the homeschooling wave has passed. But I think as we would look back on this, we still would do something similar to what we did. And that was to be charitable, to open our arms, to be respectful to those who wanted to homeschool. So in conclusion, just three things. Remember, your school is not your empire. Your school is not your empire. Secondly, be charitable. Be charitable. And thirdly, be a servant. Some of you school board members may be thinking, well, how's financing problems going on? In our situation, our school is financed by free will offerings through the church, and the homeschooling parents from the church continued with the support of the school. We provided their curriculum, they provided the teacher. So there certainly was a trade-off, even financially. I know that the servant part of this, if you're really going to be a servant here, it actually may be a greater work for the teacher than even for you as school board members, because the teacher probably won't get paid anymore, and he's probably going to have to work a little harder if he truly does become a servant to the families that choose to do something other than send their children to school. God bless you with much wisdom. I'm not sure where your communities are in this whole situation, but God bless you with wisdom as you all learn.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.